Esther chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 9 down to verse 13. It's good to see everybody with their Bibles today. The best book to read, we learned in Sunday school. The best book to read is the... If you read it every day, it will help you on your way, because the best book to read is the... The B-I-B-L-E? Yes. That's the book. How many people went to Sunday school? The B-I-B-L-E? Yes. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. The Bible is so important. It's our foundation. And in Esther chapter 5 and verse 9, it's on the screen. There's a little typo there you can fix for me. We're going to read down to verse 13. Esther chapter 5, verse 9 through to 13. It says, "Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart." He was joyful and with a glad heart. "But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him," everybody say his day was ruined. It says that he was joyful and he had a glad heart. "But when he saw, when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he didn't stand up, that he didn't move for him, he began to be full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them," he began to brag, "and Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him. 'I'm an important guy. Look at all my money. Look at all of my children. And the king has promoted me,' and how he advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, 'Yea, Esther the queen did not let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she prepared.'" She didn't let anybody else, but Esther the queen let me, but myself. "And tomorrow am I invited unto her also to be with the king. Yet," everybody say yet. "Yet all of this," "all of this availeth me nothing." You see, he's got a little thorn in his side, Haman. He says, all these great things, I was having a good day, I was full of joy and gladness. And he says, "But all of these things that I'm bragging about availeth me nothing. They mean nothing to me as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. My life," he's bragging about how he's been promoted and he's got riches and he's got children, all of these things. He said, "But there's one thing that just gets under my skin. There's one thing that can ruin a good day for me," he says, "and that's that guy Mordecai. Because when I walk past the king's gate, he doesn't bow to me. He doesn't even move." And he says, "And all of the things that I've got, it's like they're nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the king's gate." And I want to speak today about faithful living in a changing world. Everybody, let's read that together. Faithful living in a changing world. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, let your word come alive in this place. Lord, let it speak to us. Let our spiritual ears be open, oh God, that we would mix our faith with your word. And Lord, your word would profit us, that it would change us, that it would reprove and correct us today. Lord, we need your word today to speak. So we invite you, Lord, to speak even to the innermost and darkest and deepest recesses of our heart. Expose us, Lord God, that we may grow more to be like you, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, and everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Faithful living in a changing world. There's no doubt that we live in a changing world. You may be seated, brother. You can sit down if you want. Yep. Faithful living in a changing world. And so the world is changing, but how can we continue in this changing world to be faithful to God when everything seems to be going in the opposite direction? How can we live faithful? Now, just about everybody, including all of our Sunday school students, everybody knows about the daring exploits of the four young men who were captives of the Babylonians. We know the story about Daniel, about Hananiah, about Mishael and Azariah. They later become known as Belshazzar. Anyone know the other names? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody said a billy goat, but no, it's Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we recognize these wonderful heroes of the faith, and we recognize Daniel's dreams and his faith in God, that Daniel had faith even in the face of a lion's den. Daniel had faith. We also know of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they weren't afraid to stand up for what they believed. When everybody else was bowing to that idol, those three young boys, they stood there in the face of everybody and they stood there faithful, even to be thrown into the fiery furnace, knowing that God would be the fourth one in the fire. Amen? And so their faith and their courage is remarkable. Their faith and their courage is something that ought to be imitated by us. And everybody say amen. Amen. But in this story in the book of Esther, we read of a man named Mordecai. And this story of Esther is about a godly queen who came to the throne in Persia, and she preserved her people from extinction through her wise trust in God. And I know a lot of ladies in this church, if you were to go around and say, who's your favorite Bible character? They'll tell you that it is Esther. Esther's one of our favorites. We love to talk about Esther. But today, I want to focus on the book of Esther, but I don't want to talk so much about Esther. I want to talk about someone different and see, without taking away from Esther's courage, without taking away from her wisdom, without taking away from Esther's devotion to God, I would put to you that the real hero of the book is this mid-level government official named Mordecai. Mordecai, somebody we don't often think about, someone we often just glean over when we read the book of Esther, but Mordecai worked in the king's palace. Mordecai, in a lot of ways, is a lot like Daniel. Mordecai is like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so his whole life's work, the work and the life of Mordecai may have factored more in preserving the nation of Judah than any other of God's servants during their captivity. This man named Mordecai. But we can't talk about Mordecai without first talking about Haman. Everybody say Haman. Amen. Now, Haman was a cruel guy. Haman was not a very nice guy at all. And if you were to study your Bible, you'll quickly find that Haman is a type of Satan. Haman is a type of the adversary that each and every one of us as Christians face. We face an adversary. Everybody say adversary. We face an adversary. And that adversary, if you've been walking with God for any time, you would know that that adversary is real. That when you're trying to do your best for God, and when you start making some decisions that you're going to leave some things behind, your adversary would like to come up and to try and tempt you and to draw you back to your old lifestyle. There is no doubt that we have an adversary. The adversary is not some boogeyman that preachers make up to try and make sure people live right. The adversary is not like some sort of monster that we make up so we keep our kids in line. I remember when I was a child, my parents had this make-believe man with the bag, he was called. The man with the bag. And when we would be walking through the shops, my mom and dad would always tell us, you better stay next to us, otherwise the man with the bag will get you. And so that poor men back then, anybody with a bag, especially the cleaners, cleaners be walking through with those big wheelie bins, and we're like, oh, there's children in there. But we have an adversary. My dad's shaking his head, but he did it, you know. I may be a little bit scarred from it too. But this adversary is not just a made-up adversary. Our adversary, the devil, is real. And he has control over the things of this world right now. He is real. He is powerful. He is after us. He is adverse against us. He is our adversary. And we on ourselves, we cannot defeat him. We need Jesus. If we're going to defeat this adversary, we need Jesus. And the Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The word of God says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess at the name of, everybody say that name, Jesus. And so this adversary, Satan, has influenced our world. He has spread his word and we need Jesus. Every evil influence in this world, every evil influence is a testimony that we have an adversary. Paul Peter said it like this. He said, your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary. Now, when I was in Sunday school, and you still hear it around church sometimes, they say, yeah, we've got an adversary, the devil. He walks around as a roaring lion. Yeah, and he roars, but he's got no teeth. He can't hurt you. Now, I'm not sure. I know that we're trying to, you know, I know what people are trying to say, but I don't exactly agree with that. Because I've seen a devil that has destroyed some people. I tell you, our adversary is not just out to lick you. He's not just out to roar at you. The Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary, and it is the devil, and we've got to be mindful. And the Bible says that we should not be ignorant of his devices. And so our adversary, he is also a personal devil. He knows your name. He knows your weak points. But let me say this. He has no weapons against you except to tempt you and to draw you away by your own lusts. He has no power except to tempt you. Everybody say temptation. Some people say the devil made me do it, but the devil didn't make you do it. You were tempted and you were led away by your own lusts. The nature of temptation involves the three areas of life. The Bible says all that in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we can't really say that the devil made me do it, but the Bible says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts. And so we've got to be careful of temptation. And when we face temptation, Psalm chapter 50 verse 5 tells us what to do. It says, and call upon God in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When we face temptation, when temptation comes our way, we call on God. We call on his name and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help right now. We got to call on God when we face temptation. And young people, the Bible says, when you face temptation in the area of fornication, you call on God, but the Bible also says, flee. You know what flee means? It's not what's on a dog. Flee means run. And so when you feel temptation to do the wrong thing with the opposite sex, then the Bible says you ought to run. Get out of there as quick as you can. Leave the place. Leave the party. Leave the home. Go find somebody else to play with. Flee temptation, because temptation is a tool of the devil. And that's the only tool he's got. However, temptation does benefit us. Because temptation is one of the greatest benefits, is that it keeps us dependent on God. God, I can't do this. There is temptation all around me. God, I need your strength. The second point we need to learn, a third point we need to learn about our adversary, is that he is like a lion. He is a roaring lion. And so the lion is the most feared kings of the beasts. He doesn't fear any other creatures. But I tell you, our Jesus is greater than every adversary. Our Jesus, the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, when I leave this place on a Sunday morning, I don't go out there alone. I don't face the temptation of this world alone. I don't face the trials of this world alone. When I go out there, I've got Jesus on my side, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror through who? Through Jesus. Praise God. And so we have an adversary, but we have power over that adversary. We've got a call on his name, and his name is Jesus. That adversary, he's not trying to lick you. The Bible says he's trying to devour you. But this Haman, many of you may not even have read this and noticed this guy named Haman, but Haman is a type. If you know about studying your Bible, you'll know about types and shadows, that the things of the Old Testament are types and shadows of the things in the New. And Haman is a type of Satan. Nowhere in Scripture, I believe, is there a better example of what Satan is like than this man, Haman. Haman was arrogant. Haman was ambitious. He didn't get power the right way. He loved his ill-gotten power. He loved to crush his adversaries. He delighted in people's failures. He delighted in destroying people. That's Haman. He's a lot like the devil. Haman had no mercy. Haman had no mercy on anybody. And let me tell you, there is no mercy in the devil either. There is no mercy. He doesn't feel compassion. No, he has no compassion on a drug addict sitting down an alleyway with a needle up their arm and shattering all their life's dreams and ruining their whole life. Let me tell you, the devil has no compassion over somebody like that. The devil's not worried about dragging down a sick, defenseless lamb. No, there is no mercy in the devil. And when he will come to you, not when you're strong. He will come to you when you're weak, when you're discouraged. He has no mercy. He has no compassion. He will come to you when you're alone. He will come to you when you're afraid. He comes to you when you mumble words that you wouldn't want anybody else to hear. He'll come. And Haman was a lot like that. He had no mercy. Haman says, look at the glory of my riches. Look at the multitude of my children. People bow down to me. What would you do to somebody like that if someone in your workplace, they walked in and said, hey guys, check my bank account out. Look at all my kids. Look, you know what? As I walked into work today, imagine if you had a boss like this. As I walked in today, everybody was bowing down to me. By the way, I had dinner with the Prime Minister. Nobody else got invited, but I got invited, and people pledged their allegiance to me. I'm an important sort of guy. And so he's going around and boasting. That's a lot like Satan as well. I'm sure when he looks at this world and the devastation that he's caused, he has no mercy or compassion, but he walks around and says, look how I destroyed this life. Look how I destroyed this family. Look how I destroyed this marriage. Look what I did. Look, abortion. Look at the suicide. Look at euthanasia. Look, we got men marrying men and women marrying women now. Look at all the people that are downloading pornography. And look at how alcohol's got a grip on our society. Look how people are smoking weed and smoking cigarettes and destroying their life. And Satan, just like Haman's walking around, saying, look at all my riches. Look what I've done. Look at all the people that I have destroyed. That is it, and that's what Haman was like. I tell you, I'm sick of seeing the devil walking around proud in this world. Every time Haman walked past the king's gate, though, every time he walked past the king's gate, you can see he's coming up to the gate. He walked past and everybody would bow. Everybody would get up and they'd bow down to him, and that would feed his ego, made him feel big. Everybody would bow down and scrape and probably say, you know, Hail Haman or something like that. But there was one person in that king's gate that refused to bow. The Bible says he didn't even move. He just sat there, face as a flint, looking straight on. And he's looking at that Haman. He goes, I know you're nothing but a devil. And I'm not going to bow to you. I'm not even going to move. And you know what? Out of everything that Haman had, after all of his riches, after all the children, after everyone bowing and scraping, one man. Everybody say one man. One man. That's right, in the balcony. One man ruined his day. He said, none of this availeth me. None of this makes me happy as long as Mordecai doesn't bow. One man. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't make a difference just because you're one. They tell you, you can make a difference. And he said, yet all of this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the king's gate. My power is so vast. I've got everything I want. There is only one thing between me and the fulfillment of my dreams, Haman says. There's only one thing standing between where I'm at and what I want to get. And Haman continued. He said, my power, I've got everything. What is it, Haman? What is the one thing that's standing between where you are now and the fulfillment of your dream? Listen, Haman, you're awesome. You've got power. You've got everything. You get invitations that nobody else got. Haman says, you know how I pass by the king's gate every day? You know how everybody bows and everybody scrapes? But I'm fed up now. Somebody's getting under my skin. There is one Jew who doesn't bow. He won't bow to me. He doesn't even move. And he sits there so faithfully, not even blinking an eye. Haman said, all of this is just ruining my life. This one man, Mordecai, everybody else bows, but he won't bow, and it's bothering me. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about faithfulness to God. I'm talking about being faithful to God. How do we live a faithful life in a changing world? How do we live a faithful life when it seems like everybody around us is just bowing to Satan and bowing to the ways of this world and bowing to sin and changing their mind and everything is changing? How do we live faithful? Can we even do it? Is it even worth it? I'm only one. I'm only one in my workplace. I'm only one in my family. I'm only one amongst a big peer group. I'm the only Christian. Let me tell you, you can make a difference. If you just stand there every day that Haman and Satan walk past and say, you know what? I'm not going to bow to you. I'm not even going to move because I am remaining faithful to God. Somebody say amen. You can make a difference. You can make a difference in your family. You can make a difference at your workplace. You can make a difference at your school, young people. Just because everybody else is bowing, you don't have to bow. And that's one thing that got under Haman's skin. He said, every time I walk past, everybody bows, but there is one who doesn't. I've come to tell you as the pastor of this church that this church refuses to bow to the God of this world. This church refuses to bow to the ways of the world. And I've come to encourage you as individuals, stand strong. Stand strong on the Word of God. Yes, the B-I-B is the best book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone. Yeah, sometimes you're going to stand alone. But I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. I refuse to bow to the God of this world. And Mordecai, we look past him so often. We look at Esther. We look at all the other characters. But there was one man who had a tremendous influence. Just one man, because he refused to bow. And I've come to encourage you today, simply this. We've got to remain faithful. We've got to come every day to the king's gate and say, I'm going to be in the king's gate, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to bow to the God of this world. I'm going to be there in the king's gate. I'm going to serve God through the good. I'm going to serve God through the bad. I'm going to give when I'm rich. I'm going to give when I'm poor. I'm going to be faithful. And so I ask you today, to challenge you, are you living a life that is faithful to God? Faithful. Be honest with yourself. Look into the mirror of God's Word. Open up the mirror of God's Word and say, am I being faithful to God in the way that I'm living my life? Because God is looking for good and faithful servants. The words we want to hear most when Jesus, when we stand before that great white throne judgment, when he says, well done. What is he going to say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't get a well done if you haven't been good, faithful, and a servant. It's not like school these days where everyone gets a prize. These days you run a race and everybody in the race gets a ribbon. Back when I was at school, only the first three got a ribbon. Everyone else, it was tough luck. Try harder next year. But it's true. When we get to heaven, not everybody gets a well done. The only people that are going to get a well done is those that have been good, faithful servants. And God is looking for good and faithful servants. I ask you today, are you being faithful to God? Let me make it practical today. Are you being faithful to God? Are you one of those people that won't miss the gym ever? But you don't have a problem with missing church? I would say that maybe you got a problem with faithfulness. You can recite the words of worldly songs, but you haven't memorized the scripture. You can concentrate for 90 minutes on a movie full of sex and obscene language and violence. You sit there, watch a movie the whole 90 minutes, and you come to church, you got to go to the toilet every 10 minutes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We can't concentrate on the things of God. I would suggest that we've got to reconsider ourselves and look at our lives in the life of the Word of God and say, am I being faithful or am I bowing to the work of Satan in this world? Am I being tempted and drawn away from my faith? What is happening to my life? What is happening to my faith? You see, sometimes we got to do a spiritual health check. Sometimes we find ourselves, you know, we're entertained by things now that once grieved us. When we were saved, when we first become saved, we cleaned up our life, we went through our house, we went through all of our stuff, and we got rid of the worldly stuff that we'd collected. Nobody even told us to do it because we made up our mind. We were breaking up with the devil, and we were going to start living for God. So we got rid of all that stuff. But all of us know that if you don't keep cleaning the house, things start creeping in again. A home that has been swept clean can become dirty again if we don't maintain it daily. And we've got to maintain our faith daily. And that's what Mordecai did. Every day he came to the gate. He was at the gate and he sat there and he refused to bow. See, some of us, we're now turning on things now that we once turned off. Watching stuff that we once would never have watched. When was the last time that you're watching a movie or something and you turned it off because somebody blasphemed the name of the Lord? That's enough. Switch it off. You become comfortable around your peer groups. And once upon a time, all that swearing and all of those dirty jokes made you feel uncomfortable. But now, as time goes on, you know, as we drift further away from God, people are swearing, people are telling us dirty jokes, and we don't even blink anymore. I got to ask you today, are you bowing to the God of this world? We've got to stand strong. I'm talking about being faithful to God. I'm talking about faithful living in a changing world. Sometimes we're silent where we once would have spoke. Our prayer closet has cobwebs. We can't even find our Bible anymore. And if we found it, it'd be covered in dust. Remember when you were first saved? You prayed. You read the Word. Maybe now you find yourself excusing sin. The writer of Hebrews tells us to pursue peace with all men and holiness without which no man will see the Lord. And so what can happen if we're not careful, things start to creep into our life and we start tolerating these bad habits that we would never have tolerated, tolerating addictions that we would never have tolerated. And we keep telling ourselves, well, it's no big deal. Come on, I come to challenge you today as your pastor today. We can't bow to the God of this world. We've got to come to the King's Gate and say, I'm going to be at the King's Gate. Whenever I can, I'm going to be there. And I'm not going to bow to the God of this world. I'm going to stand. I'm not going to move. I'm going to stand on God's Word. I tell you, Jesus is wanting us to be faithful. He said in His Word, He said, I pray that when I return, that I will find faith. That I will find faith. He's coming back and he wants to find faith. I've come to encourage the church today that the enemy has told you that you don't matter. The enemy has told you that you can't make a difference in your family. I've come to tell you that we do matter. Mothers, you may look at your children and look at your family and think it's a hopeless cause. Let me tell you, you do matter. And by you standing in the gap, you can change the atmosphere. We struggle with feelings like we're nothing, like we can't do anything. But every day, I'm going to meet Jesus at the King's Gate. I'm going to be there every day. I'm going to meet Jesus in prayer. I'm going to go meet Jesus in consecration. Every day, I'm going to live a life that's going to be a thorn in Satan's side. I'm going to live a life that's going to be an irritation to him. And I tell you today, every day that you live, it doesn't matter how long that you've been serving God, if you are sitting in the King's Gate and you're refusing to bow, you are robbing Satan of his joy. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. I'm talking about faithful living. Faithful living in a changing world. You may not be a preacher. You might not have musical talents. You might not be the most talented person around, but it doesn't matter who you are. Every day you sit in the King's Gate. Every day you wake up and say, you know what? I'm not going to be tempted by the things of this world. Every day you wake up and you say, I'm going to be faithful to God. God, you're going to find me in the King's Gate. I'm going to be there whether I feel good. I'm going to be there whether I feel bad. I'm going to be there in the King's Gate, faithful unto God. Devil doesn't fear your talent. Doesn't matter how eloquent your prayers are. Doesn't matter how nice you dress on a Sunday. The devil doesn't fear that. The devil fears your faithfulness. The devil fears your faithfulness. A few weeks ago, I talked about praise. I talked about how praise is the straw that breaks the camel's back or the devil's back. Praise is the straw that breaks the devil's back. But I'd like to change that and say I think faithfulness is the straw that breaks the devil's back. You know, all those faithful little things, day in, day out, when we feel like it, when we don't feel like it, when we're well, when we're sick, no, we're faithful. And it's our faithfulness that irritates him, just like the faithfulness of Mordecai. Irritated Haman. Faithful living in a changing world. Nothing is required of us except to be faithful. Sooner or later, those who stay in the gate, sooner or later, God is going to reward them. And that's why Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 32, throw it on the screen, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Jesus said at that Last Supper, he said, I have prayed for you, my disciples, that thy faith fail not. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Will he find you faithful? I've come to challenge you today. Will he find you faithful? We've got to keep believing when there's no answer. Keep believing and keep praying, even when we might not get a response. Through the good times, through the bad times, some days it's easy to get to the gate and some days it's hard to get to the gate. But I'm going to be at the gate. Got to have that attitude. You know, some days we can't wait to get out of bed and head down to the gate. And some days we find it really hard. Some days we can't wait to get out. Some days it's hard. And so we every day he sees us. We get up, we go down to that gate. The devil says, uh-oh, he's up now. He's on his way to the gate. He's going to be faithful to God. He's going to live again that faithful Christian life. The whole world is changing, but he remains faithful. And the devil goes, oh, no, he's on his way. Other days when we don't feel like it, you know, through blood and suffering and all of that, and we get up and we say, oh God, I don't feel too well today. I'm not really feeling it in my emotions, but I know I got to get there. And we drag ourselves. We say, no matter what, no matter what comes against me, no matter what circumstances I face, I'm getting to the gate and I'm going to be there faithful to God. Too many people live a life, and I spoke about it on Sunday night. I spoke about the idolatry of emotions, about how we live our life not on thinking anymore, but on emotions. That's the way of the world. Advertisers will tell you that the content of the ad is nowhere near as important as how the ad makes you feel. Because they know, advertisers and marketers, that if they can make you feel a certain way, that they can make you behave a certain way. And so much of this world, even in political advertising, they're just trying to make you feel something. But base your life on your feelings. But I've come to tell you, we've got to base our life on the Word of God. I don't feel like getting out of bed. I don't feel like I'm a victor today. But Jesus is still in control. He is still in charge. He is still Lord. And I'm making my way, as hard as it may be. I'm getting back to the King's Gate, and I'm not going to bow to the God of this world. I'm talking simply today about faithful living in a changing world. We may stagger there all messed up. Hey, devil, I may be messed up. I may have staggered here today, but I'm here. I had a bad day, devil. Hey, but I'm still here. I'm still faithful. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. We overlook Mordecai so often. But the one thing that got under Haman's skin was Mordecai's faithfulness. He said, I got everything in this world. I got riches, got special invitations, I got friends in high places. And Haman said, but one thing steals my joy, and that is that faithful man named Mordecai. Let's all stand here today. Praise the Lord. Faithfulness. Every day we are faithful in the King's Gate. We are robbing the devil of his joy. Some may call us crazy. You say, oh, but all you've been through, how can you keep serving God? How can you keep pushing your way through this life? Say, you may call me crazy, but I'm not giving up on God, because he would never give up on me. When we think about what Jesus did at the cross for us, and he said to us that we ought to take up our cross and follow him. That's a call for faithfulness through the darkest hour, faithfulness through the hardest times. And that people, devil may try to bring us down with issues. We may get caught up in issues and whatever it is and say, devil, you know what? You couldn't get me. You couldn't tempt me. I'm still here. Every day I'm going to be here in the King's Gate, refusing to bow, refusing to even move for the God of this world, refusing to be influenced by those that are around me, standing strong in the King's Gate. So maybe today, brothers and sisters, we need a baptism, as it were, of determination. Baptism, a rebaptism of faithfulness to God. That we don't grow weary. The Bible says that he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Galatians says, don't be weary in well-doing, because we will reap if we faint not. Let's lift our hands all across this place. God has spoken to us today. Lord Jesus, we want to be faithful to you. Faithful in everything, oh Lord God. Lord, as we make our way on a daily basis to the King's Gate, Lord, that we would stand faithfully on your word. And as the God of this world has his way in this world, oh God, Satan, that, Lord, we would not bow to his devices, that we would not bow to his ways, that we would not bow to the thinking and the ideologies of this world. But, Lord Jesus, we would stand faithful for you, refusing to bow to the God of this world. Lord, help us to be like Mordecai. Lord, even as we go into this week that we face right now, Lord Jesus, help this character, Mordecai, to be on our minds. Lord Jesus, that when temptation comes, Lord, that we would not bow. Lord, that we would be like Daniel, oh God, who had his faith in God, even in the lion's den. That we'd be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who stood for you, Lord God, even at risk of being thrown in a fiery furnace. And Lord, we know that every day that we are faithful to you, Lord God, we rob Satan of his joy. We love you, Jesus. Come on, let's just tell him we love him this morning. We love you, God. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Come on, just tell him you love him. God is calling us for faithfulness. Faithfulness in the little things. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to let those things creep into my house. I'm not going to let those things creep into my family. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow that thinking to get into my life and cloud my vision. Lord, I'm going to stand on your word. Lord, help us not to allow attitudes against brothers and sisters or even against others outside of the church. Attitudes, oh God. Help us not to allow unforgiveness to get in the way. Bitterness, oh God, Lord, I pray. Lord, that we would cast it all aside, not be distracted, oh God, and live a life that is faithful to you in this changing world. We love you, Lord. This altar is open if you want to come and pray today. I don't know who God is speaking today, but God is calling faithful servants. Maybe you need to come and bow your knee at this altar and say, Lord, I don't have much, but Lord, I want to give you my faithfulness. Lord, I'm going to be in the King's Gate every day, faithful. Good times and bad times, Lord, faithful to you. Let's sing this song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.